Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I was one of the first prosecutors in this country to attempt to hold police officers accountable for the death of a Black man.
It wasn't until this woman had the boldness, the fearlessness, and the legal brilliance to go after the officers who were responsible for the death of Freddie Gray.
I joined more than a dozen other civil rights groups in calling for President Biden to pardon former Baltimore State's Attorney Marilyn Moseley.
She is currently facing 40 years in prison for using her own money.
They are going to use everything in the book to take down people like Marilyn Moseley, who are a model prosecutor.
So they went after her. They were looking for things over and over again. Donald Trump said that he was going to go after the protesters during the George Floyd unrest. They wrote an op-ed saying, if you come to our cities, if you send the feds to our cities, we're going to prosecute the feds. Another bold move by her. 2 months after that, she was under federal investigation. That's not by accident.
It's not enough that the government is broken me from my career and my election and, you know, my reputation and all that I've lost. They're still looking to take my sole asset. And when I think about that, right, for me accessing my own money, for me trying to build wealth for myself and my children, the only ones that are really going to be suffering are my little girls.
Today's going to be an interesting show. So much interesting that I'm not doing any ads. I'm not doing anything special. It's not even a teaching show. This is a show that I believe that is crucial for us to have. Probably one of the first shows I've ever had this kind of conversation on my show. You know, here at the table, we are focusing on three things. That's expanding and increase in abundance, wellness, and faith. And a huge part of that is around our finances. I teach to invest into your retirement. I teach to invest into your future. And on today's show, man, we're going to be talking to a young lady who is unfortunately facing sentencing, going to jail, because she pulled from her retirement. Her name is Attorney Marilyn Moseley. And over the last couple of days, few days, I've had the opportunity to speak to my big sister Monique and Angela Rye about this particular case. And I want to thank them for pretty much giving me this information. And I saw it fitting to have our sister on the show here at the table. But before we get to her, I do want to read this article that the NAACP put out. The NAACP leads civil rights organization and nationwide call for presidential pardon for Attorney Marilyn Moseley. Today, the NAACP led 14 civil rights organizations in sending a letter to President Joe Biden requesting a presidential pardon of former Baltimore City Attorney Marilyn Moseley. Moseley is facing up to 40 years in federal prison when sentenced on May 23rd, 2024. This is next week. The call from civil rights organizations echoes rallying cries from activists, advocates, and concerned citizens who believe Attorney Moseley has been unfairly targeted and unjustly convicted. I'm going to skip through some things here, but I want to go to the experts from this specific letter. Inside the letter, they have a few things that they call out. Number one is, we are deeply concerned that the last administration abused their power to advance meritless indictment against Ms. Mosby. Number two, her courageous commitment to justice made her a target of admiration and punishment. Number three, which is a very interesting one, because this is me. This is about money. 739 individuals in Baltimore City withdrew funds from their retirement accounts without being charged for improper withdrawals, including three within the same department and agency from Attorney Mosby. So that's 739 in the city of Baltimore, but 35,000 of them nationally. Number four, we expect that political prosecutions and prosecutions pursued during the Trump administration would not continue in the Biden administration. And the last thing is, they are asking that our president grant a full pardon to Ms. Marilyn Mosby before her sentencing on May 23rd, 2024, and restore her full rights. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to help me welcome to the show for the very first time, and I'm believing it's not going to be for the last, Attorney Marilyn Mosby. What's going on, sis?
What's up? Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, thank you. Monique, welcome back.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Hey, man, one of my favorites. But before we get to Ms. Marilyn, because I really want to make sure that we have an understanding of what's happening, did I miss anything on this that you can speak to as far as in the specifics?
No, I think that what the NAACP said hit the nail on the head. I would point out that, especially for you, Anthony, I appreciate that you would open up your platform and allow for this conversation, because day after day, week after week, we come to look at your show, we come to look at your posts to know how to take care of our financial health.
Yes, ma'am.
How to save money and not spend it recklessly. How to ensure that we are taking care of not just ourselves, but creating a legacy by saving for our children.
Yeah.
Here you have this sister who was doing that every week, every 2 weeks, every year, putting aside out of each check exactly the way you would tell us to and advise us to, knowing that what she was supposed to be able to do with that money, which last time I checked, when you take something out of my check, that's my money. What she's supposed to be able to do when the government allows for it and the rules allow for it is to pull from that in order to make better decisions for our family. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what she did. She went and she took some of her own money during a time when the COVID provision allowed for her to do so and allowed for 730 something other people in Maryland to do so and allowed for 35,000 people to do it nationwide. She was one of those people. But for some reason, the prosecutors have had a problem with what she did. That is the equivalent of if you have a school that has 730 people in it, and they all studied the same material, and they all did the same testing, and they all clicked the same box, and they accused one person of cheating, and they expelled one person for cheating.
Yeah.
When, first of all, nobody cheated because they all were given the same material, they all were given the same rules,
yeah,
they all clicked the same box. But the government comes in and says, oh, no, that one student. So what I need your listeners and your audience to realize is put her there, your one student, because that is what the government did with Marilyn. Leo Wise, who is a prosecutor, who's now currently prosecuting Hunter Biden, who has made it his heart's desire to go after progressive prosecutors, to go after Black women, to go after and target individuals who look like us, decided that if he couldn't do anything else, and this wasn't the only thing they tried with Attorney Mosby, but try and try and try and try and try until they could get something to stick. and then act as if it's not obvious that it could have been me, it could have been you, that this is why we save our money, so that when there's an opportunity to do better for ourselves, we can. So there's obviously so much more that I could say about the why that we're here, but the only other thing that I'll say about it, because Marilyn has sentencing on 23rd and her lawyers would for real hamstring us if I let it come out of her mouth. It wasn't until this woman, as a young prosecutor, had the boldness, had the fearlessness, had the righteousness, and the legal brilliance to go after the officers who were responsible for the death of Freddie Gray. It wasn't until she used her office in order to enact progressive policies that would keep people from going to jail for misdemeanor, nonviolent offenses. It wasn't until she was willing to look back at what her office had done before her time and determine if things had been done that shouldn't have been done. It wasn't until then that she became the target of the Trump administration. Her name came out of the president's mouth, President Trump himself. She became the target of then Governor Larry Hogan, who's now running to be a senator in Maryland. Hello, somebody. It wasn't until then that she became the target. So if you're wondering why we're here because we had somebody standing up for us. If you're wondering how they got here by charging her with a crime for doing something that thousands and thousands of other people did, and did so righteously.
And to be clear, the crime that unfortunately she was found guilty of was taking money from her retirement account.
Yes, taking money from her own retirement account. They accused her of doing it without showing the necessary financial hardship. But the financial hardship, the level of financial hardship, was undefined by law. Yeah. So they accused her of something that nobody would have been able to figure out the answer to, but expected her to do so. And she was accused of and found guilty of perjury in a separate property transaction in which she, again, was utilizing her own money, that of her and her husband, in a gift transfer that was advised by her financial advisors and by her real estate broker. And it didn't stop the government. It didn't stop them. And I belabor these points because we see this all the time. We see people who are targeted for doing things and then held to a different standard than the rest of the world. We sit here right now, and our former president has 91 various indictments across the United States of America and is a free man running for office as the Republican nominee for president of the United States, the presumed nominee. But this sister, for her own funds,
is
where we are.
You know, when I walked into the green room, and I'm just going to say Attorney Mosby, he's still my attorney.
He still is an attorney, by the way.
Yes, Bill.
She still has a license. She sits here as a lawyer.
You know, I thought I was going to see a different face. I thought I was going to see a little bit of sadness. I thought I was going to see tiredness, stress. But when I walked in, man, you was just beautiful, lighting up. Thank you. You don't look like what you've been going through the last 2 years, but I think I would be wrong to not ask, how are you doing? And not just you, if you feel like speaking about it, how are your kids doing? I just have a heart for kids.
No, and I appreciate the question. I think when you said 2 years, this has been longer than 2 years.
Has it?
It has. I mean, I think what Monique touched upon is that I've been under attack. Yeah. Since the moment I walked down the steps of the War Memorial and announced charges against six police officers for the death of a 25-year-old black man by the name of Freddie Carlos Gray Jr., who was unconstitutionally arrested, placed into a metal wagon, head first, feet shackled, and when his spine was partially severed in the back of that wagon, his pleas for medical attention were ignored. These individuals, the FOP, they put me on the magazine, The Wolf That Lurks, they've been coming for me and individuals since that time coming from my law license. And so more recently, as Monique has already indicated, you know, being under the ire of the former president, right, who said I needed to prosecute myself, you know, there were instances where 2 months before this investigation started, myself, as along with Larry Krasner, who's the Philadelphia district attorney, called then President Trump out and basically said, you do what you're doing in Oregon and you start kidnapping people, you bring that to Baltimore, we're going to prosecute you. And 2 months later, they opened an investigation into me. So they've combed my taxes, my campaign contributions, my charitable donations. They've interviewed my hairdresser. They've gone to my children's dance instructor. FBI has knocked on my neighbor's doors at 5 a.m. to interrogate them, right? So they've created an environment of hostility and isolation that affected my election. I lost my election. I lost my reputation. I lost my career. I've lost my marriage, a relationship that I was in for 25 years. And I'm now in financial ruin as a result of these allegations in which, as has already been pointed out, this was not a hardship financial standard. This was an adverse financial consequence, something that Monique has already said has never been legally defined. And so, you know, even the witness that got up on the stand and said all I needed to do was suffer a $50 adversity during COVID to be able to withdraw my own retirement savings. That's what I was looking to do to build wealth for me and my family. And so when you ask how am I'm first and foremost incredibly humbled. I'm so humbled by, you know, even in the midst of the storm, I feel like God has still been sending earth angels into my life.
Right.
And because of the environment of hostility and isolation and villainization that has been brought upon me, so many people that I loved unconditionally, as I've stated before, showed me the conditions of their love. And so to now be in a position where you have 14 civil rights organizations understanding the injustice that I'm facing, to be in a position where you have thousands of people signing a petition in support of what I'm going through. It's overwhelming. To have people like Monique and Angela Rye and some of my local supporters who are diehard advocates and understand the injustice of what I'm facing, it's humbling. And I know that it's only God. You know, this has brought me to the lowest point. These systems, they filed an emergency petition to take my law license, something that they have never done even before I was convicted. I mean, sentenced and convicted in the second case. And when I think about like just all that I've lost as a result of this, even through the storm, I can still feel nothing but gratitude because God is still there. He's still holding me up. He's still bringing people into my life to strengthen me and covering me and covering my girls. You know, my children are 13 and 15 years old. And just yesterday, you know, again, something that's been impacted is my 25-year relationship. My ex-husband lost his election. And my little girls came into my room and they were devastated. And I was like, well, you know, I didn't even know what to say, right? Like, you know, God is with us. You have to have faith. You can't lose faith. And they broke down and they were basically like, Mom, I just don't want to happen to Dad what happened to you. And I said, well, what do you mean? An election is not everything, right? Mommy's fighting for liberty.
Right.
And they said, no, I don't want to see Dad go through the depression that you went through.
Wow.
I don't want to see Dad go through, they didn't say isolation, but to be alone the way that you were. And it really brought it back to the ultimate sacrifice, right? Like when I think about it, my two little girls having two public servants who want to give back to their community all this time, we took time away from them. And it's not enough that the government is broken me from my career and my election and, you know, my reputation and all that I've lost. They're still looking to take my sole asset. They're still making a recommendation for me to go to prison. And when I think about that, right? For me accessing my own money, for me trying to build wealth for myself and my children, the only ones that are really going to be suffering are my little girls. But at the same time, he's covered them. God has covered them because I was saying and remarking before, my little girl just had recently a cotillion. And I didn't know because I made it a point in the first trial not to kind of try to shield them from going into court and being away from the press and the media. And then, you know, I felt like I needed to.
What's going on, family? Have you ever worried about the incredible impact of influential figures like Megan Thee Stallion or the profound cultural moments like the woman behind the Montgomery bus boycott? These stories are more than just headlines. They are powerful narratives that shape our history and inspire our future. You see, for me, these stories represent the strength, the resilience, and the creativity of the Black community. They remind us of our ability to overcome adversity and create world-shifting change. I believe my audience will find these stories both interesting and inspiring because they resonate with our shared experiences and aspirations. If you're interested in hearing more stories like this, you have to check out my friends at NPR Podcasts. NPR has a new collection of podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths collections, you'll hear stories of joy and resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting change out of struggle. Every episode is a living account of what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Megan Thee Stallion to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Michelle Obama, to the woman behind the Montgomery bus boycott, there's no limit to the range of NPR. Listen right now to these amazing Black stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Show them what strength looks like in the face of adversity, what faith looks like in the face of adversity. So I made it a point to bring them to the trial, and they came with me. And at the cotillion, it was a surprise to me when my little girl was announced and she said that she wants to, when she grows up, be a lawyer, and not just a lawyer, but a prosecutor.
Wow.
So I bring this all back to say I'm grateful because even through the storm, God is still covering my babies and covering me in a way that only he can.
That is God. Cotillions. I remember the cotillions.
She won the cotillions.
She won the cotillions.
She won.
I won the cotillion, so I know.
Did you?
Yes, ma'am. That's the days, but I'm getting old. Lord Jesus. I want to ask you this question because you fought hard. Throughout all your interviews, I never really heard you answer this question. And it's a great question, I think. Why? Like, why? What made you want to be who you are today and then fight for the people?
So I think it's a calling.
Okay.
To be honest with you, my family, I come from four generations of police officers. My grandfather was one of the founding members of the first Black police organization in Massachusetts. He was part of one of the community policing patrol units, the first Black patrol unit, the Soul Patrol. And my grandfather, my uncles, my mom, my father, all of them were police officers. So law enforcement was very much ingrained within me. But when I was 14 years old, we were a very close-knit family, lived right across the street from my grandparents, and my cousin lived right next door. But my cousin, we grew up like brother and sister. And he was 17, I was 14. And he was killed right outside of my home in broad daylight when he was mistaken as a neighborhood drug dealer. No. They were looking for a kid named Dion, and his name was Duran. And so if it wasn't for a neighbor who cooperated with police, testified in court, my family wouldn't have received any sort of justice. But this was really my first introduction to the criminal justice system. And seeing my cousin with all these dreams, all these aspirations, was now going to a grave, but the individual responsible for his death was also 17 years old. I said, what is this system, and how could we have gotten to that young man before he elected to take my cousin's life? And so that tragedy is what spawned my passion to want to reform the criminal justice system. And so from, you know, the time that I was in high school and then into law school, like, my friends were making $40,000 a summer. And I'm volunteering at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Boston, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Suffolk, in D.C., the Suffolk County Homicide Unit. And then for a year, I was a student criminal defense attorney because I wanted a well-rounded perspective about the criminal justice system. And what I realized is that the best way to be able to reform this system, a system that has disproportionately impacted people of color, right, and bases their business model off the backs of Black and brown people, the best way to be able to reform it is from within.
Yeah.
Prosecutors are the most important stakeholder in the criminal justice system. We are the ones who decide who's going to be charged, what they're going to be charged with, what sentence recommendations we're going to make. We decide if somebody gets into the criminal justice system in the first place. And so that is an awesome amount of power and discretion to be able to not disrupt, but to, I would say, change the system from within.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I love that, to hear that story. Because I've always wondered that. I was like, man, you went so hard. I mean, there had to be something behind it. And now I understand why.
And when you think about what Marilyn just said about prosecutors and their role and the vast amount of discretion that prosecutors have, the decisions that they make, and I agree and would argue they are the most powerful position,
yeah,
especially for Black and brown folks, because as much as we want to laud the accomplishments of a Johnny Cochran or laud the accomplishments of a Racehorse Haynes or any famous criminal defense attorney, if there had been a prosecutor before you ever needed to hire Monique Pressley,
right.
If the prosecutor had used their discretion, had used their power in order to create some sort of reformative justice, in order to do something rehabilitative, which is what Marilyn spent her entire career doing and will be doing again. But you can see then, Anthony, why people would not want this if they don't want us. If they really are okay with us being referred to as animals. If in this kind of white supremacist society that is prevalent in the United States from the time that we got here, and there's no point in denying that, that because those are just the facts. And there is a sect of our country that when they talk about returning to the beautiful good old days, I'm always like, when?
Making America great again.
Making it great again. Oh. And so when you have not just Marilyn, because as much as I'm sitting here and love my sister and I'm backing her up and I'm going to have her back no matter what, we've watched them attack Monique Worrell. We've watched them attack Kim Fox. We've watched them attack Tish James. We can list
Bonnie Willis. Kim Gardner.
They're doing. And it's not a coinkydink. It's not an accident. These women, these Black women are in these positions of power. And they are using that power in order to get in between this brother and a bullet, get in between this sister and a jail cell, get in between a child and being trafficked.
They're standing in the gap doing the work of the Lord. Here I go. The preacher was going to come at some point. But they are the mender of the breach. Yeah. Absolutely, Anthony. And I know you have a huge faith following that understands what I'm saying, that we have an ultimate defender in Jesus Christ. And then God works through people. And I ain't never been a prosecutor a day in my life. I'm defense in my bones. But Marilyn is my sister. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to do that job. I've seen what it's like when she does it. And now I see who they choose to prosecute when it's not her. When the discretion goes to other hands. So I would just entreat those who are listening and who are watching you to understand that she sits here, but it's all of us.
Yeah, and I think to your point, Monique, if they're able to, and they let me be very clear, everything that's being done to me, the only reason why I'm the only person that they've prosecuted, targeted, prosecuted, and now convicted in the way that they have, they can make it, they want to make an example out of me. They want to make an example out of me, not just for myself, but for any other prosecutor or any other person that will challenge the status quo in the way that I did. It's a forewarning not to do it. Being out here the way that I have, my colleagues don't want to touch me with a 10-foot pole. My family didn't, some members of my family didn't want to touch me with a 10-foot pole. The people that I had in my space, the people that I did so much for. I ran the largest law firm in the city of Baltimore for 8 years under unprecedented sort of challenges, right? Like people that you think would be there for you, they're very intentional. People don't want that smoke. And I get it. But if we allow me to go down the way that they want me to, it's going to have a detrimental impact on everybody else. So Trump more last week was talking about how he's going to give full immunity to police officers when they kill with impunity, right? That he's that's on record. So if they're able to take us down the way that they have, as Monique has already indicated, it's not just me. It's all these other women, Black women more specifically. The vitriol is very different, but progressive prosecutors, they did it to George Gascon. Chesa Boudin, they've done it to Andrew Warren. They're doing it to progressive prosecutors, but the vitriol, the system is using the system against Black women criminally differently than they are anyone else. And if we allow that to happen, I just want to be clear that when unfortunate incidents happen where a person is in a position to use their power and discretion, right, to do the right thing, they won't do it. It's going to have they're not going to do it. It's going to have a direct impact on our families, on our communities. And this is an ice and chilling effect that I just want to be clear that I'm very clear on. And that's why I'm at ease, right? Like I've surrendered. I know like God will have the final say. I'm very clear on that.
Gotcha.
But and through people.
Yeah.
Through people. She's covered. But we kind of have to all decide who we're going to be. And I know that I sent you the information just as of yesterday. There was a full pardon application filed with the Biden-Harris administration, yes, asking the President of the United States to pardon one of the best of us, Attorney Marilyn Mosby. And that's not special treatment. That's not favoritism. The pardon power rests in the president's hand on purpose. Our founding fathers saw fit to do that, to ensure that when you could not get justice anyplace else, that there was a final appeal. There was a place you could go in order to right wrongs in the system. There are supposed to be checks and balances in the system. And we are asking that that be done sooner rather than later. If people look at the press release that Attorney Benjamin L. Crump put out yesterday, Attorney Ben Crump is on the pardon app.
Yeah.
Representing Attorney Mosby. Attorney Barbara Arnwine, mm-hmm, Transformative Justice Coalition, is on the pardon app. Attorney Barry Sheck.
Yes.
Innocence Project.
Yes.
Is on the pardon app. If you go down the who's who and the what's what of the over 50 lawyers, the 58 lawyers who have said, you know what? No, not this time. There are
five former National Bar Association presidents and the current one on the pardon app. Now, Anthony, I know we can be united sometimes, but come on now. When you see all these civil rights organizations, when you see Black Voters Matter, Until Freedom, NAACP, all thinking the same thing, asking the same thing, it's because it's not a close call. It's not a close call. So people can go to justiceformarilynmosby.com and they can sign the petition. I'm moving to action items because I know we have a hard out, but they can go to justiceformarilynmosby.com. Yeah. They can sign the petition.
Yeah.
They can share with three friends. That's what we're asking. Sign for yourself. Share with three others. I'm going to say what she wouldn't say. There's a GoFundMe on there. You've heard her and all of her losses. So if people want to be gracious and generous in that way, I would ask that they do so. So your own local civil rights organizations, come on board. You can submit your own letter. Her sentencing is on the 23rd. Call the prosecutor's office and say, look here. They can find the information on how to do that and say that we have a say in this because this is our government. You know, and I know for some people, they look side-eyed at the government and they just wipe everything with a broad brush. But I hope through what we've shared with you, they can understand every prosecutor is not the same. Every prosecutor doesn't have the same intentions. Somebody's going to be in that job. Don't you want it to be somebody who can see you, who cares, who is going to make good decisions for you? And so
do the right thing.
And we want, that's what we're hoping that we will get out of this, that these action items will take place, that the president will pardon Ms. Mosby and give her her life back, because it's not enough. I want for the judge on the 23rd to do the right thing and give the lowest possible sentence, because that is appropriate. That's what's in the judge's power to do.
Right.
And I'm facing up to 40 years.
It could be 40 years. But even what the prosecution has asked for is, frankly, asinine.
Wow.
To spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in order to prosecute one woman. And then at the end of the day, people can go and see. It makes no sense for us to be here to try to strip her from any time with her children. But even if the judge did that, I want her license intact.
Mm.
I want her career intact. I want the full kind of restoration that we as a people can demand of our government. And so if they want to make her example, let's have an example. She's going to be the example of what happens when we get together and decide enough. Did you hear Pastor Michael Phillips preach that?
I heard
a couple of weeks ago.
It's
running through me.
Yes.
Shout out to Pastor Mike. But when he said that sometimes God steps in and says enough.
Yeah.
That is what we're saying now. Enough.
And you haven't been able to work the last 2 years, right? Last year, 2 years?
No. I mean, when you have these felony convictions and the way that I've been villainized in the media, again, everybody, they don't want any parts of me. So I started my own consulting company and I've had a few projects, but it's been rough.
Yeah.
But God is still good. Every time I, you know, am down or need something, he makes a way. I'll get a call from a pastor. I'm short on my rent. I'm short on my mortgage, and I'll be $1,000, and I'll get a call from a pastor. Hey, I was just thinking about you. I'm going to come see you. And me and my wife, we're going to give you $1,000.
Wow.
I mean, it's amazing. It will blow your mind just how good God has been through this storm. And so that's why I said I'm just grateful.
I love it. Well, you guys, we're going to put all this information inside of the show notes. We're going to put, what's the website again?
JusticeForMarilynMosby.com.
Justin for Maryland.
Justice.
Justice. I said, Justin, what?
He's 4-2. We want justice.
Justice for MarilynMosby.com. We're going to put that inside of the show notes. We're also going to put the GoFundMe on there. You all know me. I believe in sowing seeds. My pastor said something to me the other day while we was out golfing. He said, Anthony, it doesn't really matter about the situation. What matters is what the Bible says. Do unto others as you will want done unto you. And if this was you, no matter the situation, would you want people to love you? Would you want people to have your back? Would you want people to at least cover you? And so I'm going to be giving. Y'all know me. I try not to say too much because I don't like putting numbers out there for the world because it doesn't come from my heart. You know, I want to, you know, just take care of her behind closed doors. But I want you to know I'm going to be giving. And then also as well, we're going to put the court date and the name of the court where she'll be at. And if you're in town, if you want to come and support her, come and support her. But if you can't do none of that, you all know me. At the end of the day, I'm still that preacher man. Lift up a prayer.
Yes.
Lift up a prayer. Pray for her.
Yes.
Pray for her kids. Yes. Could you imagine kids seeing their mom go through this? Kids seeing their father even going through things as well. Going through that and watching not just the attack on their mom, not what happened with their dad losing the thing, but then also watching their parents unfortunately go through a separation. So the kids are going through this as well. So lift them up in prayer. And I'm praying that God would touch the judge. I'm praying that God would touch whatever he needs to touch in this situation, but specifically for your heart. And thank you for your heart, your smile. When I walked into the green room, you just stood up and hugged me. I wasn't expecting that kind of energy. And so you just encouraged me, you know? And so I'm praying for you. And y'all, I'm praying for yourself, you guys. I mean, because let's be honest, what attorney Marilee Mosby is going through right now, some of you all watching could be you. Because some of us have taken money from our retirement account. Some of us have done some things, and this could be us, all right? So, like I said, it was a special show. I really wanted you all to get this information and to hear a little bit more about this story. I maybe want to put this link to where you can read the full article that Monique and Angela sent me. And I had a good conversation with Angela. You got people who love you.
I do. That's why I say I'm that so woman, grateful.
Angela, love you, sis. Love you so much, Angela. When Angela called me, she was.
Angela Rye is a queen. And when she attaches, things start moving.
Listen.
Things start.
Monique, too.
Moving.
Trust me. I already know. You know, I got Monique in the back pocket. You know, I'm calling Monique and I'll be straight. You know, we've had some good conversations offline. But when Angela called me, I was like, she was like, hey, I was like, yo, she just, that woman is fighting for you. No, she loves you.
I'm so grateful. I can just tell you the moment that we spoke, she said, sis, I didn't realize. I'm sorry. I just burst into tears because she got it the moment that we spoke. She was connecting the dots. And I was like, oh, my gosh, somebody finally sees me.
Yeah.
And like, I'm so grateful for her and even like my local supporters who every day, like the Sheena, the Hakees, the Tyrones, the folks that go hard for me every single day fighting. So again, thank you. Thank you, Anthony, for giving me the opportunity to tell my story.
No, when I saw it, I'm like, hey, man, I teach on retirement. I teach on money. So I got to have this conversation because I was like, hey, this is important for us to know. And I just believe that God is going to do something in the midst of this.
I agree.
And I just wanted to be connected to whatever God is going to do.
Amen.
Thank you.
You know, that's it. And so thank you. Praying for you. Sis, thank you.
Of course.
Thank you. And Angela, thank you as well. And to everyone supporting and watching this, thank you all so much. Check out the information in the show notes. And we'll see you on the next show. Peace out.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.